We're back with another Funny You Should Ask here on Arts Underground. And today we are hanging out with Raina Cahill. Hey, Raina.
Hi.
Hey. And she is a fantastic improvisation and stand-up comedian here in the Tennessee Valley. And so the first thing I want to know is, what is your earliest memory of getting into comedy? Like, who inspired you?
Honestly, the very first stand-up I ever remember watching, which is not my style now at all, was the Blue Collar Comedy Tour with Larry the Cable Guy and Bill Engvall and Jeff Foxworthy and Ron White. I thought they were hilarious, but honestly, I think it was more like sketch comedy, like from Mad TV and Saturday Night Live. I think those were my, like, that's really what steered me towards comedy. But I prefer stand up over sketch comedy. That's probably what got me into it the most.
So you looked at it and said, that's what I want to do.
Right. Yeah. Right. And being bullied in school, you know?
Okay.
You know, like just having to learn how to defend yourself and make fun of yourself. Like that's kind of how I found my path.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know, what gave you the courage to sort of take that big giant leap into comedy, like your first gig? What drove you there?
It is a giant leap. It's funny that you say that, because I was told for so long that I should do stand-up comedy. And I didn't feel like I was funny enough. I didn't feel like I would ever, I would ever be good at it. Why was that?
Yeah.
You know how some really pretty people don't realize how pretty they are? I never thought that I was that funny.
Oh, okay.
I never intentionally made jokes to be funny. I mean, I would know when something was funny, people would laugh, but I just didn't feel like, I guess it was kind of effortless in some ways. And so I didn't realize how funny I was to other people. And I thought everybody was funny. I was like, oh, everybody's funny. I'm no different than anybody else. I had a best friend. Her name was Paige Johnson. She's moved away now, but she really believed in how funny I was. And she did the research. She was like, Stand Up Live does an open mic like once a month. And this was a year ago. She was like, it's this date, this time, I'll go with you. So the first time I went to Stand Up Live at an open mic, I did not sign up for the open mic. I just wanted to kind of scope out what it was like. And then I was like, okay. So the next month, which was December, I believe, they had an open mic. And I went to it. And I did my first 3 minutes. And it went over pretty well, I think, for a first time. And I was just like, oh, my God, I love this. Like, I want to do this every day. Yes.
Yeah. I know you said that you talked about sketch comedy. That wasn't your favorite thing to do. But you are part of another comedy scene that I see you in a whole lot, which is at Shenanigans Comedy Theater.
Yes.
Doing improv. And that requires you to put on hilarious shows and competitions, even like the Improv Thunderdome and shows like that. So can you talk about keeping the stand-up muscle strong versus keeping the improv muscle strong? What are the challenges there?
I think they keep each other strong, if that makes any sense.
They coincide a little bit?
Yes, okay. Very much. I actually joined improv because I knew it would help my comedy. A lot of successful comedians, they're able to riff with the crowd. They're able to relate to people in the crowd and think on their feet. And I knew the improv would help that. So that's why I joined improv in the first place. And then I guess I would just say, like, having kind of previous stories or seeing things, you know, jokes that you kind of already have that might help you in an improv situation. So I definitely think that they help each other. And stage presence, they help each other for sure.
And then that's talking about actual shows that you are part of where people pay to get in. So open mics are another way that you mentioned, like at Stand Up Live, for you to keep that muscle strong, as I mentioned before. And I want to know, from your perspective as the comedian, what is the difference between an audience at an open mic show and a show that people have to pay to get into?
So I wouldn't say there's necessarily a difference in the audience.
Okay.
Typically at an open mic, your audience is going to be smaller, and depending on where you're at an open mic, they might not be paying attention, but there are some shows where you know, it might be a bar and not a club, or the people might not be aware of a show and people aren't paying attention then either. So the biggest thing is, of course, at a show, the material you're using is your good material, your polished material. It all has a place. And then at open mics, that's your time to be like,
sharpen it.
I'm going to fail. Like, it's like, okay, I have this joke in my head. It sounds really stupid. Let me see how stupid it actually is. Like, like last night I had some really kind of absurd humor that I wanted to try out and it didn't go well. So now I know I need to rewrite it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that it's, you know, it shows you have a better chance of having a good crowd because sometimes they know that they're there for a show, but just kind of, because a lot of comedy in Huntsville right now is located in bars and we don't have, other than Shenanigans, which is a wonderful comedy theater, and Stand Up Live, other places aren't really set up for that all the time.
So we definitely need a sort of expansion of performance spaces for comedians. What do you think?
I mean, I think it would be great, but also, there are some, you just don't get as many shows. I know Stand Up Live, they're doing a few showcases right now. They haven't been doing any open mics. I mean, just the pandemic has made it really hard. It's been hard on the comedy scene, and that was my first year in comedy was during the pandemic. So honestly, I might be speaking out of turn. I might not know a lot that you know, seasoned comedians in the area know, because my first experience in comedy was December 2019, and then here we are now. So, and being a brand new comic, you're not going to be invited on shows very often.
I'm interested to know, what is a memory from a show that you've performed at that stands out in your mind for one reason or another? It could be like a heckler, or it could be just something that really made you feel great afterward, or anything.
Oh, man. I would say my best memory on stage to date, there was an open mic at Maggie Myers that I think I just feel like I really nailed my material. I did riff with the crowd a little bit, and there were some out-of-town comedians that were really funny, and I respected them as comedians, and they thought I was funny. You know, anytime that I see a comedian, I respect, I respect all the comedians in the local area. let me clarify that. I don't disrespect anybody. But, like, you know, some people that you're just like, they're so funny, I can't wait to be at that level. Like, there are people that I feel like are levels above me that are complimenting me, and I thrive on that, and it gives me, you know, it gives me that momentum to keep working harder on my material and keep hitting open mics and stuff like that. So it was probably an open mic at Maggie Myers, and I think it was after I got COVID and had healed up and everything. Before I got COVID, I had performed there as a feature for Olivia Searcy and Andrew Ferreira. They're hilarious. And I had featured for them, and I did the same set, and I did well, but then when I did it a few months later, maybe it was because I was stuck in quarantine for so long after having COVID that I was just like ready to get back out there. And I killed my set. I was like, this is great. I nailed every bit of it. My timing was on point. And you'll have people heckle you a little bit. And I don't mind a little heckling because, you know,
you can handle them.
Yes. It's a learning experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I want people to kind of heckle me sometimes so that I know I can handle whatever's going
to
come at me.
But it's not an open invitation for anybody to go out to your show and just,
yeah, don't be disrespectful. You. Yeah. Don't be disrespectful. But, and some comedians hate it. Mm. And it's not something that I wish people, like, it's not like, oh, everybody should do this. I don't wish people would do it, but I don't mind it because I feel like it's making me better as a comedian. And that kind of is also where improv comes into play. Whenever, you know, you're doing an improv show, you're given suggestions from the audience and then you have to act on those. So so it helps. That's another example of how they kind of support each other. But yeah, that would probably be my best memory to date right now,
right,
of my comedy.
And I want to know also, before a show, do you have a pre-show ritual or routine in the green room?
I prepare the entire day before a show.
Wow. Okay.
and it's not like, I wouldn't even say it's hard preparing, but I try to not have anything to do the day of a show. If it's a Friday, there's not much you can do about that. You know, usually I'm working or something, but if it's a Saturday, I try to stay at home. I try to go over my set. I'll record the material I want to use over and over, and I'll time it. And even though I probably shouldn't, on the day of the show, I might start moving material around. I might start, I'm going to put this here tonight and because I think it's going to fit better here. So, yeah, I think I prepare kind of the entire day, not just in the group. By the time I get in the green room and there are other people around me, I know that I can't focus. I know that I won't mm-hmm. be able to work on my material. So yeah, I prepare before I get there. Just because I know me, I won't concentrate on anything if mm-hmm. I have people around me talking and everything. So
I would probably be the same way. Who makes you laugh the most in life?
In life?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My brother and my sister-in-law, we're very similar people. We're kind of three different people with the same personality in a lot of ways, and I laugh with them a lot. My sister-in-law and I wish we were actual sisters. We're really close, mm-hmm. and she is just really silly, and yeah. I guess them. And then my boyfriend and I, we cut up all the time. I like to act really ridiculous. And then he just kind of makes fun of me. So, and then that makes me laugh. So I guess that would be, you know, and then if you're looking at the comedy scene.
Yeah. Who's a comedian we should be watching out for here?
Oh gosh.
Locally or...
I mean, I think a lot of people that are familiar with the comedy scene are familiar with Scott Eason. He's hilarious.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
I would say Carl Paul might be one of my favorite comedians.
Very deadpan. I love
yes,
Carl.
And yes. Yes, and delivery is just, it's so unique. Mm-hmm. I feel like, honestly, anything that comes out of his mouth could be hilarious. But his writing is wonderful, too, because he writes in a way that fits his technique. And it is just, I don't think I've ever seen Carl go on stage and I haven't laughed.
Yeah, same here.
Yes, exactly. Brent Reed is also really funny. I'm part of a group called PTSR. We're a veterans group that we're starting to kind of do a little bit of touring. We're scheduling right now mm-hmm. Where we perform.
Veteran comedians.
Yes, they're okay. comedians. We're a society. And we know. No, they're comedians, and each of us are you know, prior service. And Lauren Harris Childers, hilarious. I heard her material for the first time at our show that we had at Shenanigans, which sold out, by the way. And I'm very proud of that, even though it's half capacity. I don't care. I'm going to tell everybody we sold out a show.
It's a great theater. There's a big traffic light.
Yes.
There's a lot to see.
Yes, yes. Shenanigans is wonderful. But yeah, Lauren Harris-Childers, she blew me away. And to see other female comedians, there's so few of us. She headlined for us, and she absolutely earned that headline. It was great. So yeah, I would definitely say, I've heard more of Carl Paul and Brent Reed. So they're the first people that come to mind. But then she was just great.
Well, how would you describe the local comedy scene for women?
Well, I don't... Me personally, I'm so used to working in predominantly male environments, being in the military. The last place I worked was a gas department where I did regulatory compliance. I was the only female, and I was also the youngest person there by 20 years easily. So, and I grew up with two brothers, so I feel right at home. I feel very comfortable. And so a lot of the females that I'm around are similar, so I feel comfortable with them too. I think just in general, the comedy scene is so welcoming. I have never felt closer to a group of people than I have when I started comedy and improv. Just everybody's welcoming you with open arms. We're all ready to see each other mess up, you know. We're all ready to give advice and mm-hmm. be supportive. And it is just... it's wonderful, like, just to really, you know, you can go on stage and you can eat dirt. And then You can eat dirt and then, you know, you get off stage and you have people patting you on the back. Oh, you did well. Oh, I would change this. And because of how welcoming everybody is, you want that constructive criticism from them. It's never condescending. It's always just to make, you know, each other feel better. It's wonderful.
So let's look to the future. What do you have coming up in April?
So I have a show that is out of town in April, being put on by Ray Scanlon. And then I'll be doing a homegrown comedy in April.
And that's at Straight to AL.
That is, at the Speakeasy. Okay. And I'm super stoked. I've done it one other time a few months ago. And they gave me, because I was still newer, obviously, they gave me a shorter spot. And then Matthew Tate, who's also hilarious. I don't know why I didn't say his name earlier. so funny. He said that I'm going to get a longer slot on that. And I'm super stoked about that, because that's another room that people are there for comedy, because they actually, you know, they pay a cover to get in, and everybody's facing.
It's like a small corner.
Yes,
that's lit up.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's always a great crowd, and I'm super stoked to be a part of that. And then hopefully in April, you know, PTSR, we're working on more on getting more shows. We might have some in Chattanooga, Auburn, and stuff like that. Birmingham, maybe. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now in April. But you can always find me at an open mic. I do at least 2 open mics a week.
Looking even more forward into the future for this year, what are your goals for this year as a comedian? What would you like to accomplish this year?
In May, I will be going to Pensacola, and I'll be doing, I have a spot at the Pride Festival, and I'm super stoked about that. I'm really excited to meet other comedians out of state. So I'm hoping that will kind of grow my sphere of influence, and I'll be able to travel a little bit more. I guess that would kind of be my goal. I'd like to get out of Huntsville and just travel more with my comedy. And Huntsville's it really is a great scene. But I'd love to be more in Chattanooga, and I'd like to try some in Georgia. I hear it's very competitive in Georgia, so I'd love to try out there. So I would say my biggest goal this year would be traveling with my comedy, if other than, you know, the obvious things like get better, be better. So be better and travel.
I want to end it with 2 questions that I asked Brandon Imes. He was the first guest, so I'm going to ask you as well, Raina.
Right.
First off, I want to know, do you have any hidden talents?
Hidden talents? Maybe none that I can say here. probably some that you can hear in my comedy, but
okay,
you can't hear here.
Fair,
I don't.
Okay, that's fine.
My only talent is comedy. Other than that, I'm a total bum. I'm a terrible person, just all the way around. I also have like this super annoying natural professionalism about me.
Okay.
And I hate it, but it's just part of who I am. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast with Scott Eason.
Talk about that.
Yeah. It's called Going All the Way with Scott and Raina. It is a sex podcast. Mm-hmm. We talk about sex, relationships, anything kind of down that avenue. I like it because it's a very healthy podcast. Now, it is upbeat and it's silly, but it's very informational. And I've loved doing it. I think we've recorded 8 episodes. We've put out about 4.
Okay.
So wonderful. But we always open up the podcast and, you know, Scott will ask me how I am. And I'm like, I'm doing well. How are you? And it's my default setting. Mm-hmm. Just to be like this professional nerd. And I cannot stand that about myself. I don't know if that's a hidden talent, but it's definitely just like you can talk to me and you'll be like, she's not laid back, is she? But they're like, no, she really is. She doesn't know how to abbreviate things or be cool. So
where can they listen to it?
It's on Spotify, Apple Podcast. I mean, just about anywhere. Okay. It's not a video podcast, so you won't find it on YouTube, but anywhere else, it's just a recording. And I have the link to it on my Instagram for Spotify. And then I know that Scott has the link in his bio for the Apple podcast.
Okay, and the last question that I have, what is your favorite like popsicle stick joke to tell? Just a stupid joke that makes you laugh.
Something that I came up with or something that...
It could be something you came up with or something you heard from somebody else or off a popsicle stick. It doesn't matter.
My favorite cheesy joke would probably be, hey, Katie.
Yeah.
I saw Simba walking slow. Do you know what I said to him?
What?
Mufasa.
Yeah. I've never heard that. Truly.
Mufasa, and you've gotta put emphasis.
Mufasa. On,
yeah, exactly.
I want to hear like Rodney Dangerfield say that. That'd be hilarious. Mufasa. I don't know. So thank you for being here today, Raina. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. This was wonderful.
And I would like to say that this has been Funny You Should Ask, and we've been talking with local comedian Raina K. Hill. Stick around because we have Raina's personalized playlist, plus a lineup of great music you don't hear every day. This is Arts Underground on 89.3 Huntsville.